Dear colleagues, good morning and welcome to our phone conference of the BMW Group for the first quarter 2019. Here today we have Harald Krüger, the Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Nicolas Peter, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG, responsible for finance. The gentleman will give you an overview about our business development, and then you will have the opportunity to ask your questions. And I'm going to hand over directly to Mr. Krüger. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At the BMW Group, we're always moving forward with our sights set on the future. Our actions are geared towards the long term. We continue to resolutely chart our own course. Two areas will be crucial for us. First, strengthening our core business, and second, moving forward with important future projects. I'd like to say a few words about each. First, on our core business. We're currently focusing here on three key areas: our model and technology offensive 2.0, targeted expansion of our market presence, and our internal program Performance Next. Also for 2019, we aim to lead the global premium segment once again with our three brands, BMW, MINI, and Rolls-Royce. We also want to increase our market share, and we certainly did that in the first quarter. We delivered more than 600,000 vehicles to our customers. That is our ninth consecutive best start into a year, and we're also doing well compared to our competitors. In March, we beat the trend, recording sales growth in several key markets, including the U.S. and China. We also posted the most dynamic first quarter growth of any premium car company in China, our largest single market. In Europe, we maintained the same level as last year, and in the U.S., we were number one in the premium segment in the first quarter. Our core brand, BMW, Rolls-Royce, and BMW Motorrad all reported their best ever first quarter. The BMW X models and new 8 Series, as well as the Rolls-Royce Cullinan, proved especially popular. Our product momentum remains extremely strong. At BMW alone, customers can look forward to 21 new or updated models this year. There will also be new models from MINI and BMW Motorrad. Fresh on the market are the BMW 3 Series, the Z4, the X5, the X7, and the 8 Series Coupe. The new 7 Series, with its new design language and highly innovative infotainment driver assistance systems, is already a hit with customers. It will be followed later this year by the new 1 Series in the compact class. In the luxury segment, we're gradually realizing our strategic goal of significantly increasing sales and revenues. The 8 Series convertible and Grand Coupe are ready for market launch. Many customers are eagerly ordering the new X7. The incoming orders, both for markets overseas as well as Europe, are exceeding all of our expectations. As part of our model offensive, we will continue to introduce sustainable drive technologies across the fleet, as set out in our strategy number one next. In the first quarter alone, we sold more than 27,000 electrified vehicles. And by the end of this year, we will have 500,000 electrified vehicles on the roads worldwide. In Europe, our percentage of electrified vehicles delivered is 3 times the industry average. In 2018, we were the market leader for electrification in both Europe and Germany, not just in the premium segment, but in the market as a whole. We plan to maintain a leading position going forward, both in Europe and worldwide. In order to do so, we will continue to introduce more electrified models across all brands and model series. This also includes Rolls-Royce and BMW M. Plug-in hybrid technology will be a focus for us in 2019. The 3 Series, X3, X5, and the 7 Series all come with a fourth generation of our electric drivetrain technology. This gives these vehicles an increased electric range of up to 80 kilometers. Our fully electric BMW i3 has been on the market for about 6 years now. During this time, its range has doubled. This is one of the reasons it continues to post such strong growth. Minivans will also soon be able to go fully electric. Production will begin this year for the MINI Electric. Pre-production test drives have been very well received by the media. As you know, the MINI Electric will be built in Oxford. This also underlines our continued commitment to the UK. On the BMW side, we are expanding our fully electric range with the addition of the iX3 from 2020 and the BMW i4 and iNext from 2021 onwards. By 2025, we will have at least 25 electrified vehicles in our lineup, 12 of them purely electric. As you can see, we're clearly not betting on any single technology. From my perspective, that would be the wrong approach. We're relying on a broad portfolio of technologies with flexible platforms for combustion engines, plug-in hybrids, and electric drivetrains. We're also conducting further research into fuel cells with our partner Toyota. Over the long term, drivetrains with hydrogen fuel cells will offer greater local emission-free range with very short refueling times. These will complement our battery electric vehicles. Every customer has different needs and every market different business conditions. We can only achieve the flexibility needed for fully sustainable mobility around the world by staying open to different technologies. We're fully committed to this approach. We expect various drive forms to continue to exist alongside one another. Our customers appreciate the wide range of models and drivetrains we offer. This year, we will again be targeting new all-time highs with a slight growth on the automotive side and a solid growth at BMW Motorrad. And more attractive models will be released over the next few months in all segments. We therefore expect to see stronger sales in the second half of the year. The BMW Group is global in every respect. In 2019, we will be targeting growth in all major regions. To achieve this, we are strengthening our presence in the markets and expanding capacity where needed. Our goal remains the same, to balance global production between Europe, Asia, and the Americas. In the Americas region, we will open our Mexico plant in June. This production facility will set new standards for productivity and sustainability. Most of the plant's power will come from a solar system on the grounds and is 100% CO2-free. The vehicle painting process does not produce any wastewater. The water used is processed and recycled. We are creating more than 1,000 skilled jobs in San Luis Potosí. In 2015, we launched our successful dual training model at the plant. Since then, we have trained nearly 250 young Mexicans for their future careers. Ladies and gentlemen, our core business is also about looking inwards. We're constantly optimizing our processes and structures so that we can align ourselves for the diverse tasks of the future. In 2017, we launched our company-wide Performance Next program. We're working hard to become more efficient, more profitable, and much faster. Nothing is off limits. We are leaving no stone unturned. Our goal is to make structural efficiency improvements throughout the entire value chain. We're already implementing many of our decisions and are now stepping up our efforts in all areas. By the end of 2022, these improvements will save us more than 12 billion euros. Let me give you a few concrete examples. We're leveraging significant synergies and efficiencies in indirect purchasing and material and production costs, and we're doing quite well here. We are reducing complexity in our vehicles wherever it makes sense to do so. We're shortening the development process for new models by up to a third. We're using digital simulations on a much wider scale. By 2024, as many as 2,500 costly prototype vehicles will no longer be needed. On the product side, up to 50% of our current drivetrain variants will be discontinued as we transition to flexible vehicle architectures from 2021 onwards. We will focus on what customers want the most. There will be no successor to the BMW 3 Series Gran Turismo. At our annual press conference, we announced that the size of our workforce will remain about the same as last year. We met this goal in the first quarter. All of these measures will have a positive impact extending well into the next decade. That brings me to my second point, future projects. We're a driving force for sustainable, connected, and autonomous mobility. Step by step, we're gradually creating the necessary conditions for highly automated and fully autonomous driving. In March, we opened our data center with a high-performance D3 platform. With an initial storage capacity of around 240 petabytes, it eclipses anything we have had in this area in the past. On the product side, the iNext is scheduled for launch in 2021. For the first time, we're combining electric and Level 3 highly automated driving with high-end connectivity and a digitalized interior all in one vehicle. What this means for our customers is a completely new experience of mobility and everyday driving qualities with an electric range of more than 600 kilometers. In 2021, we will put a pilot fleet of 500 BMW iNext vehicles with Level 4 and 5 functionality on the roads. The necessary technical requirements and changes to international regulations and liability laws are currently in progress. One thing will not change: customer safety remains our absolute priority. We do not use any technology in serious production vehicles until we have completely mastered it. Together with Daimler, we want to develop next-level technology for autonomous driving. This should be available in our models from 2024 onwards. We're also already working with Daimler to expand our mobility services because future mobility will not be possible without corresponding services. Customers expect a 360-degree approach to all their individual needs. This is the starting point for our new NOW family. Our mobility powerhouse, Your NOW, will provide customer solutions for all their mobility needs, from individually owned cars to ride-hailing, car sharing, and a wide range of other services. Our joint venture is currently made up of five vertical business entities with a solid base of 60 million customers. Ladies and gentlemen, 2019 will be another challenging year. Our environment remains volatile and dominated by uncertainty. Nevertheless, we will continue our positive business development as we systematically prepare for the technological challenges of the future. We clearly see ourselves as one of the driving forces. With our strategy number one next, we will continue to set the course for long-term profitable growth as a technology leader in our industry and beyond. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Krüger. And now I'm handing over to Mr. Peter.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would also like to welcome you. Good morning. On the operational side, the BMW Group started the year as expected in a business environment that remains challenging and volatile. Our first quarter financials were heavily impacted by the provision of around 1.4 billion euro we made in connection with antitrust allegations by the European Commission. The statement of objections leads us to believe that it is probable that the Commission will issue a fine. This led us to recognize a provision in the first quarter in line with the IFRS. Ladies and gentlemen, we are firmly convinced and would like to underline that the allegations made by the EU Commission are unwarranted. We regard these proceedings as an attempt to equate the to equate the permissible coordination of industry positions regarding the regulatory framework with unlawful cartel agreements. The BMW Group will contest the EU Commission's allegations with all the legal means at its disposal if necessary. The EU Commission also clearly stated that the ongoing investigation is not related to the use of illegal defeat devices. Regarding the diesel discussions, which are completely separate, I would like to emphasize again a deliberate and systematic illegal manipulation of exhaust emissions is for us not acceptable. The provision in connection with the antitrust allegations alone reduced the EBIT margin in the automotive segment for the period under review by around 7 percentage points to minus 1.6 percentage points. As previously announced, we have adjusted our guidance for the year to reflect this effect. Before we look at the quarter in more detail, there's one new development I would like to draw your attention to. Changes in the legal framework allow for a condensed quarterly reporting for the first and third quarter of the financial year. Starting with the first quarter of 2019, we will utilize this option. As a result, our future reporting for those periods will be more concise without significantly reducing the information content. But now let's take a look at the details for the first 3 months. We continue implementing our strategy and are investing in the future. Our young product portfolio, which we strengthened again last year, is doing very well, both in comparative tests and with our customers. In the first quarter, contrary to the market trend, we gained segment share despite several model changeovers. The key regions developed as follows. The sustained market turbulence in Europe resulting from the transition to WLTP, as well as uncertainty over Brexit and how the economy will further develop, continue to have a dampening effect. We're seeing robust development in the U.S. thanks in part to our new FAV models. We expect here the new X5 and new X7, which have been well received by dealers and customers, to provide further impetus over the course of the year. China continues to develop positively for us. The premium segment and the BMW Group in particular outperformed the weaker Chinese car market in the first quarter. The locally built X3 is now fully available and proving especially popular. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a look at our financial figures for the group. Group revenues for the first quarter totaled 22.46 billion euro and were therefore on par with the previous year. The financial result decreased to 173 million euro. This was partly due to changes in interest rates that had a negative effect on market valuation of related derivatives. Pre-tax earnings amounted to 762 million euro. The main factor here was the provision, which I have already mentioned. The EBT margin for the first quarter stood at 3.4%. Without the provision, the figure was 9.6% and therefore remains at a high level. As previously announced, due to model changeovers for some of our major model series, we expect the first half year to be slightly weaker overall. Ladies and gentlemen, long-term profitable business development remains our top priority. The upfront investments we are making today to further develop electromobility and autonomous driving are the foundation for our future business success. By the end of the year, for example, we will have 10 plug-in hybrid models on the road. As planned, first quarter research and development expenditure was around 100 million euro higher than the same period of last year. The R&D ratio was at 6% and is likely to stay between 6 and 6.5% for the full year. In a volatile environment, flexibility is more important than ever. This principle is reflected in our investment strategy. All our larger plants will soon be able to build all types of vehicles within the same production structure, from combustion engine, plug-in hybrid, to battery electric vehicles. Electrified models are already integrated into production at nearly all our locations. In the first quarter, we invested a total of almost 1 billion euro. That is over a third more than in the same period of last year, mainly for modernization and increased flexibility in our plant structures and for the construction of our new facility in Mexico. Upfront investments were also needed for production ramp-up and market launch of the new 3 Series and the new 1 Series. The CAPEX ratio reached 4.4%. We expect the ratio for the full year to be only slightly higher than in 2018, despite the introduction of IFRS 16. Let's move on to the individual segments. In the automotive segment, deliveries to customers remain stable in a declining overall market, as expected. Due to the model changeovers I mentioned and the highly competitive environment, particularly in Europe, segment revenues remained on par with last year at 19.21 billion euro. The segment's operating earnings of minus 310 million euro were impacted by the provision of nearly 1.4 billion euro, which I have already mentioned. The EBIT margin was minus 1.6%. Without the provision, the figure would have been 5.6% as planned. First quarter sales were largely driven by strong growth in China. But since our business in China is only partly included in our operating income, this positive effect is not fully reflected in the EBIT margin. As previously announced, higher manufacturing costs, mainly for fulfillment of regulatory requirements, impacted earnings. The pricing situation remained challenging, especially in Europe. We faced headwinds from currency and commodity prices as expected. In addition to other factors, the collective agreement pay increase in April 2018 also contributed to higher personnel costs. The financial result decreased to 283 million euro, mainly due to positive valuation effects in the previous year's quarter. I'd like to say a few words about the segment's free cash flow. On the one hand, as is usual at this time of the year, we have built up inventory, in particular for upcoming model launches. On the other hand, both the lower net profit and higher capital expenditure are reflected here. As a result, free cash flow for the first quarter totaled minus 559 million euro. Based on current assessments, we're aiming for a similar free cash flow for 2019 as last year. A possible future payment related to the antitrust allegations has not been factored into this assessment. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to the financial services segment, which is off to a good start this year. The total portfolio grew to nearly 5.74 million contracts. In the year until the end of March, almost 470,000 new contracts were concluded with retail customers, an increase of 3.9 percentage points over the previous year. Segment earnings increased significantly to 627 million euro. In addition to portfolio growth, the financial services segment also benefited from a generally stable risk situation, which was reflected in lower risk provisioning expenses for residual values in a number of markets. Let's take a look at the motorcycle segment. After a challenging 2018, BMW Motorrad made a good start in 2019. Deliveries to customers increased to around 38,600 motorcycles. This positive development was also reflected in the operating result, which at 87 million euro climbed 11.5% compared to the previous year. The EBIT margin of 15.2% was also higher compared to the previous year's quarter. With attractive new models, we're looking forward to dynamic growth for BMW Motorrad over the next few months. Ladies and gentlemen, the BMW Group is in a very robust position in these challenging times. Our financial strength enables us to continue investing in the future, even in a difficult external business environment. As long as conditions do not deteriorate significantly, we expect that the full financial year 2019 will develop in line with our guidance. In the automotive segment, we expect a slight increase in deliveries. Bearing the effect of the provision for the antitrust allegations, the target range for our EBIT margin of between 6 and 8% remains unchanged. We're still on course to reach this goal. Since the provision, however, has a negative impact of 1.5 percentage points on the EBIT margin, we're expecting a margin in the automotive segment for 2019 between 4.5 and 6.5%. Our clear strategic target in a stable business environment remains in the range of 8 to 10%. In the motorcycle segment, we're planning for a solid increase in deliveries. The EBIT margin should remain within our target range of 8-10%. In the financial services segment, we expect return on equity to be on par with last year and above our target figure of 14%. Group earnings before tax will be significantly lower than the previous year, also as a result of the announced decrease in the financial result. Our guidance assumes that political and economic conditions will not change significantly. We expect the second half year to benefit from the strong product momentum generated by the many new and updated models currently ramping up and ready for launch. However, conditions will remain volatile. For one thing, there is lingering uncertainty over the future course of trade policy and the UK's withdrawal from the European Union. We will also continue to monitor economic developments worldwide very closely. Weaker developments in Southern Europe in particular could affect our business in the coming months. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks to our high degree of flexibility, we are capable of responding quickly to new developments and can steer production as needed. We will continue to work on all factors we can actively influence. This includes reducing complexity, improving efficiency, and continuing to optimize processes and structures. Through Performance Next, we're using key levers to systematically realign the company. The BMW Group has a solid foundation to build on. Sustainable, profitable growth remains our goal. Innovation, leadership, and profitability are key to maintaining our position at the forefront of our industry. Every single BMW Group employee is committed to this objective. This commitment is what distinguishes us as a company. I firmly believe with our clear strategy and its systematic implementation by all of our associates, we can continue to lead the BMW Group into a successful future. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Peter. Dear colleagues, we now have time for your questions. We will now hear the information. If you want to answer a question, then please press 0 and then 1. If you want to withdraw your question, please press 0 and then 2. First question is by Mr. Engemann. Dr. Peter, maybe you can tell us something about China. The deliveries are good, and can you tell us more about China? And then I would also like to know about what effect the commodity prices had, and then also beyond that, about the new plant, there were higher ramp-up costs for competitors. Maybe you can tell us more about the costs incurred here. Thank you, Mr. Engemann. These are three questions what I'd like to hand over to Mr. Peter, China, and then the effects of FX and Mexico. Well, Mr. Engemann, indeed, in China we are doing very well. Sales growth more than 10% in the first quarter, and we're quite optimistic for the months to come. Why? Because the X3 is doing very well. It is now fully available, and also the long version of the 3 Series will be introduced within a few months. Therefore, the result of the joint venture developed in a positive way. You can expect roughly, I mean, you know that the EBIT joint venture is not fully mapped, but you can assume plus minus 1% on the EBIT margin in order to compare to other manufacturers. Now, about the exchange rate effects and commodities in the first quarter. Well, very low, in the very low three digits. About two-thirds were the effect of FX and one-third of commodities. Well, our guidance was a few weeks ago between 500 million and 1 billion negative development due to FX effects and commodities. We will be rather at the lower end of that range for the year as a whole. Maybe around 650 million based on today's situation. Here, both FX as well as commodities is included here. For Mexico, a higher ramp-up costs, that is not the case. I cannot talk about competitors, but we're doing very well with our plant in Mexico. The plant in Mexico, as you know, is of great strategic relevance for us because that means we're within the USMCA area. We have a production of the 3 Series. I'd like to add something. In China, the development will continue. We will also have localized the X2, which does not have a predecessor. We already communicated that. After the X3, which is quite successful, and the long version of the 3 Series at the end of the year, we also will have locally produced the X2 in a very strong growth segment, the sport activity vehicles. These are growth segments in China.
Thank you, Mr. Engemann. Next question, please.
Next question is by Gabriel Wirth.
I have a question about something completely different. I'm going to ask about the political situation. What you think about a socialization of the company as suggested by Mr. Kühnert, and what does that mean for the Social Democrats? Can they still be elected?
Well, let me hand over to Mr. Krüger. Well, Mr. Wirth, let me say three clear points. First of all, the Federal Republic of Germany owes its success to the social market economy, and the BMW Group is an exemplary example of the social market economy. Here, our associates are participating from the result of our company, the owners of the company, as well as the shareholders, and we have a great culture of cooperation between the company and the workers' representatives, and all of that makes us successful together.
Next question, please.
I have noticed that your investments in plants and equipment have been significantly increased. Will that continue over the course of the year? Generally speaking, the R&D costs, can we can you balance out these costs by cost-cutting in other places, or can we expect further cooperations for the development of platforms? Or could there be, for example, a cooperation between BMW and Daimler?
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Mr. Peter will be answering the question.
Well, let's start with the investments. With 4.4%, we are pretty exactly in the band what we have announced, and we stay to what we said before, that in the year as a whole, we will slightly be above 5%, despite a change of IFRS. Our R&D costs in the first quarter are also on schedule or on track. We are investing in the electrification of our drivetrains, and we're investing in autonomous driving. And as we have already communicated in March, between 6 and 6.5%, well, we will be between 6 and 6.5%. And then the third aspect, of course, we're continuing to use our program Performance Next, and we're working against cost increases in other areas. And of course, cooperations as we have developed them over a long time. When you look at autonomous driving, where we have a successful cooperation with Intel, Mobileye, for example, we have also communicated that the next generation of autonomous driving systems will be developed together with the Daimler Group. So cooperations do play a role. Thank you, Mr. Peter. And then about a cross-shareholding with Daimler, well, I will. This will definitely not happen. We will focus on two services and autonomous driving, but I can exclude that. Next question, please. Good morning. I have three questions, if possible. One is about the profit, well, in the first quarter, because of the provision, it is still relatively... You will not achieve your corridor as announced. And what is the reason for that? Is it because of increased costs, or why can you not achieve your goals this year? Normally, from your point of view, it should work to achieve the 8 to 10%. And then a second question refers to the cost reduction of 12 billion euro. You mentioned reduction in procurement, fewer variants, and faster development. Maybe I forgot something, but maybe if you could tell us more details, where exactly did you experience these savings of 12 billion? And then the situation between the U.S. and the EU has not developed in a positive way lately. And what is your current opinion? What will happen? And if new tariffs were to be introduced, what effect would that have on your business? Thank you. Thank you for these three good questions. Well, first of all, I would like to suggest let's start with the situation between the U.S. and Europe. And Mr. Kruger will be talking about that first. Well, about the situation in the U.S. and China, well, the trade situations can continue to be volatile. We are, of course, in favor of free trade. That was we are again the biggest next net importer from Spartanburg, and how we're preparing ourselves for further volatility. To give you one example, the X3 in the U.S. in the first quarter of 2019, we produced 20% more for the U.S. market compared to the previous year, with the three production sites, China, South Africa, and the U.S., can we have more production in Spartanburg for the U.S. market, and that means tariffs have fewer effects on us, and that gives us a strategic advantage compared to our competitor. And now in the second half of the year and the third quarter of the year, we have the X7, which is going to be built in the U.S., and then also the X5. And also there, also because we're building the X3 at other locations, we have more capacity for a U.S. production of the X7 or X5, so we can produce more in Spartanburg for the U.S. market of the models, which are very important, and that makes us less exposed to the ups and downs. And in China, we're now producing the X3 and the 3 Series and a long version. And then at the end of the year, we will also have, for the first time, the X2 as a local production. With this globally balanced situation, and this gives us a competitive edge compared to other companies, and that lets us or helps us to react better to the situation. But you never know what is going to happen. Thank you, Mr. Kruder. And then there was a question about profit and also about the cost reduction program. Well, we have earnings of 5.6%, and that means we're right on track in order to achieve our 6-8%, excluding the antitrust situation. We knew that the first quarter would be more difficult. Why? Because outside of the external factors, market developments, for example, and FX effects, but also because of the model changeovers, we expected a more severe impact in the first quarter. We have the X5 and the ramp up. The X7 will be fully available in the weeks to come. And that gives us reason for optimism so that we will see a positive development for the rest of the year in order to stay with, in order to reach our course as we have announced it. So why are we still a little away from the 8 to 10%? That has to do with external factors, which I have mentioned, but it also has to do with the fact that against the background of the electrification of our product portfolio, we are investing heavily in R&D. And also when it comes to manufacturing costs, we can see that the regulatory requirements which we have to meet have led to an increase of manufacturing costs. And apart from that, as I have already said, because of the increased wages, we also have higher personnel expenses. And I'm not going to split up the 12 billion euro, but to give you some details about the large chunks, indirect procurement was mentioned by Mr. Kruger. This is a volume of about 20 billion euro we are talking about here. So you can imagine that we have been able to centralize certain things, and if you leverage a percentage point here or there, that is a strong lever. And then also we have had, or we are still in constructive talks with our suppliers as far as manufacturing costs go, and we have communicated that as well. And also another important topic is the reduction of complexity, which is not going to happen overnight, especially when it comes to the new models which are going to be introduced. It will become fully effective, but nevertheless, it is extremely important because across the whole value chain, from R&D to manufacturing to sales, all the way to residual values, it will have an effect. Thank you so much. Next question, please. Good morning. I've got three questions. First, about Europe, VW, is in favor of its employees voting for the European Parliament, and to what extent do you expect your skeptical parties to be successful, and what effect could that have on the internal market? And could that jeopardize your business model? And I have a question about China. What do you think about the market in terms of trade negotiations between the U.S. and China? Will we see a worsening situation here, especially since we have heard the latest announcements? Thank you, Mr. Hetzner. Both questions will be answered by Mr. Krüger. Well, about the European election, it is quite important for us. We also encourage our employees to cast their vote. It is about the future of Europe. The right to vote is an important part of democratic society. So if you're not voting, you're not seizing an opportunity. Therefore, it is important. Europe is also important for our company, because a large part of our sales is in Europe. So a functioning Europe is really close to our heart, and it is important for our business model, and that's also how we communicate it to our associates. Of course, during the next elections, there might be more parties. It is important, nevertheless, that we have a consensus for our business models, for our values, and so that we can take strategic decisions. For example, the fast implementation of infrastructure for electric mobility or for automated driving, which requires 5G. This is what I would like to see on the agenda of the next EU Commission, so that we can keep up with the competition in China and in the US, also as far as the infrastructure is concerned. And then the next question about the situation between China and the US. Well, we have had a very positive first quarter with a double-digit growth in China that had to do with the local production of the X3, which is now fully available. We will then have the long version of the 3 series and the X2 later in the year. Premium is still sought after in China, and there will be, of course, an effect when the trade situation deteriorates between the U.S. and China, and that will have an effect on our business. Nevertheless, both sides do want to come to an agreement, and that's also important for world policy. Thank you, Mr. Krüger. Next question, please. Good morning. I've got two short questions. The situation between the U.S. and China, what costs will that incur this year? Thank you, Mr. Sacco. We're going to start with Mr. Peter. And then Mr. Krüger will be talking about the iNext. Well, Mr. Steffner, the negotiations or the trade war between China and the U.S. doesn't cost us anything so far, because we are at 15%. And if something were to change, then of course we would check things again, but don't expect some significant impact. Maybe in the low 3 digits, but that would not impact our guidance. And about the iNext and automated driving, in 2021, we will offer 3 functions with a highway pilot up to 130 kilometers. We have very advanced technology, and as I have said in my speech, safety is our greatest concern. And then level 4 and level 5, we will have a pilot fleet of 500 vehicles spread across 3 continents, America, China, and Europe,
because we need to test the local situation, and we have currently a fleet of 80 vehicles, which will be expanded to 500 vehicles across three continents, and we're doing millions of virtual test kilometers. That's why I mentioned the data center. We're moving huge amounts of data in order to simulate that virtually, and that means that by 2021, we can probably introduce a vehicle which not only provides you with the electric mobility, but also lets the driver experience everything else, connectivity, and automated driving. And I think this is going to be a huge leap forward. Rebecca Eisert, good morning. I've got three short questions. You said, as far as the antitrust situation goes, you will defend yourself with all legal means possible. So what will be the next steps, and what would be the ultimate ratio? And then something about the plans for the second quarter. And you talked about 1,000 jobs in Mexico. And the third question is about, whether you will also provide shuttle services or commercial vehicles. And do you see yourself at a disadvantage when it comes to offering such services for shuttle service and commercial vehicles? Let's start with the antitrust situation. Well, about the antitrust situation, Mr. Peter has already said what we have said, that we have made regular agreements within the industry. We will now be allowed to see all the documents, and then we will learn more, and then we will make a statement, which will then go to the EU. This will be the next steps, but that has nothing to do with the manipulation of diesel engines. That is a totally different situation. And then about the plant in Hungary. Well, about the plant in Hungary, to give you the right perspective, the decision for the new plant in Hungary underlines once again our growth strategy. We're investing in China, we're investing in the U.S. currently in Spartanburg in order to increase the capacity. We're also opening our plant in Mexico and then also in Europe. It will be built in the northwestern part of Hungary in Debrecen, and we will hopefully produce 150,000 units per year. So that means about 1,000 employees, give or take, and we will let you know in due time so that you can be there for the first groundbreaking ceremony in Hungary. And then you ask us about autonomous driving, whether we are at a disadvantage because we're not offering vans. I don't see ourselves at a disadvantage because the product concepts still need to be developed. Our first priority is that developing the software stack, which enables us to have automated or highly automated driving. And we have Gen 1 and Gen 2. Gen 2, we're doing that together with Daimler. We have had very productive talks, and we will remain creative in this field. We have 5 minutes to 11. That means we can take two more questions. So, yeah, go ahead. Used deliveries went down. Why? And then the next question, when you look at your results,
there seems to be a standstill in Europe and a decrease in the U.S. and a good result in China. Where do you actually make money? What are you balancing out everything with the earnings from China, or did the U.S. and Europe contribute something as well? And then I would also like to know more about China. There seems to be a lot of uncertainty in the market, but there is a confusing situation in China. So it's not only about having great products in China. The market what is going to happen in the Chinese market? What would the Chinese have to do in order to bring about changes in the market? Well, Mr. Peter is going to try to give you to answer all of your questions. Well, first of all, let's get started with the market situation in the U.S. We still expect a slight growth for the year 2019 for the U.S. And why are we optimistic there? Because especially because of our very comprehensive SAB program with the X5 and X7, because this is the fastest growing segment in the U.S., and we are very well positioned here. And apart from that, and that's important to mention as well, in our segment, we actually increased our market share in the United States compared to our competitors. So we showed a very good performance, and at the end of we were actually the number one in the U.S. In Europe, we also showed a positive development. And we're also optimistic here that over the course of the whole year, just as planned, we will see a slight growth in Europe. Currently, we are experiencing a partition in two parts, Germany and the northern European markets. They're developing stronger than the southern European markets. But all in all, we are on track here as well. And China, when I talk about the 5.6% earnings, the China business is not fully reflected. In order to fully include it, you would have to add plus minus 1% to the EBIT margin. Well, the overall market has been decreasing over the last few months. Actually, it started in the middle of last year already. However, continuously, also last year, we were on a very good course, not just in the first quarter. Also, when you look at the figures for April, we have been doing very well, and that was before the introduction of the X3, and you know that the new 3 Series is also a very important model, and we have experienced in the past that the Chinese government very cleverly stimulating the market, and since April 1st, they have done some stimulation on the VAT side, so that makes us quite confident that we will achieve our goals for 2019, a stronger growth compared to the other regions of the world, somewhere between 5 and 10%. Well, dear colleagues, I was going to answer another question, but it is exactly 11 o'clock right now. So thank you for being here, and see you next time. Thank you.